It doesn't have to be religious. I'll explain on this edition of Key Life.
Hey, if you're into stuffy, turn off the radio now, because this is Key Life, designed to be honest, straightforward, and street smart. Here's Steve Brown with the teaching for today.
Thanks, Mike. If you have your Bible, open it to the book of Ruth. We're going to spend most of this week looking at the book of Ruth. And I took some time yesterday to tell you the story and to read maybe the most beautiful passage in Scripture from that first chapter. Entreat me not to leave you or turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go, and wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts you from me. Did you use that in your wedding? You know, a lot of couples do. We didn't. I didn't even know it was there when we got married. But for those who have been Christians and knew what the Bible said, that's a wonderful passage to be read at Scripture. At weddings, it's a scriptural passage. Boy, I've got to get this straight before I finish this broadcast, or we're not going to get through it. But it's a statement by Ruth to her mother-in-law. But it is so profound in what it says, and it's so magnificent for a wedding. If you're planning your wedding right now, you might want to mark that down and remember that you owe me because I gave it to you. Well, let's turn as we consider our Old Testament survey in general, the book of Ruth in particular, and talk about this book. I took some time to introduce it on Friday and yesterday. We saw that we're not sure who wrote it. We're not sure when it was written. We suspect that it was written around 900 B.C., about a century after the events that are described here. But the thing that, and this, some of you are not going to appreciate what I'm going to say, but I'm going to say three or four things about this book, maybe show you a couple of verses, and then we'll bring it to an end and move on to 1 and 2 Samuel. But first thing I want to say about the book of Ruth is that it's not that spiritual. It's just a good story. You say, well, as it's in the Bible, it's got to be very religious. Not necessarily. You ever think that God sometimes just gives us things to enjoy that have no spiritual significance, no spiritual teaching in them, that he just likes us to laugh? Brennan Manning has this wonderful benediction that he sometimes uses. And he said, may you lose everything you've got. May every dream be shattered. May everything fall apart so you might laugh and dance in his presence. Sometimes God doesn't have any spiritual significance to something. It's just a nice story. And he thought he wanted to tell you a good story. Somehow, we as Christians have gotten so religious that we get the idea that a book has to have some kind of great philosophy, some deep spiritual overtones to it, some social implications, or it's a sin if we read it. Listen, that's not true. I've absolutely loved what Jim Dobson has said about the Potter series. I haven't read any of those, but I know that some Christians are very uptight and they say they're demonic and it teaches witchcraft. And that may be true. But there's no more or no less of that than you would find in C.S. Lewis and the Chronicles of Narnia. There's a witch there, or you would find in probably a whole lot less than you'd find in Tolkien, who is certainly a Christian and in the Fellowship of the Ring. And so maybe they're just good stories. I have a friend who just read one of those stories and said, you know, I wasn't affected about magic and stuff, but I just thought it was a good story. Now, I'm not making a statement. As I said, you ought to go to Jim Dobson's to focus on the family's website. They have a great thing about the Potter series, and it's very balanced, and it's very together. However, I think a lot of the criticism, though not all of it, because some people say some cogent things about those Potter series, those books that children read and that are such big sellers. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, you need to get a life. I mean, for a while, that's all you could see on television or hear about. Everybody, every child on a bus was reading one of those books. But I think that some of the criticism is just because It doesn't have any great spiritual implications except good against evil, and every good story has that. Did you see the movie Driving Miss Daisy? Was it Driving Miss Daisy Home? Just Driving Miss Daisy. You know, that was not a story that had a beginning and an end. It didn't have any great conflict. It was just a slice out of life. And I sat there and watched that movie. It was a great movie. It was a great movie because I delighted in it. It was real life. There were times when you laughed and there were times when you cried. And when I walked out of the theater, I didn't say, well, that didn't have any Christian implications to it, or I've got to sit down and really think about this, so it's okay that I go see this movie because it would be sin if I did anything that wasn't religious. Let me tell you something. That's a bad attitude, and it's not a biblical attitude either, and it's certainly not a Jewish attitude. So at least one of the reasons I believe that God has given us the book of Ruth is because he says, children, I've got a great story. You want to hear a good story? You want to hear a really good story? And then God tells us the story of the book of Ruth. I was asked about things I read in my life at a conference recently, and I think some people were shocked. I said, I read Dorothy Sayers before I realized it was culture. And I read mystery stories, and I read lots of stuff that has no religious implications to it, just because I like to read it. So there are some implications in the book of Ruth, but the main thing is just really a good story, and you ought to enjoy reading it. When you walk on the beach, when you enjoy a milkshake, when you smell the flowers and don't think to give God all the praise for it, don't feel so guilty about it. Sometimes God dislikes to do things that are fun. Boy, am I going to get a letter. Hey, listen, I know what you're going to say, so don't write the letters. And I'm too old. I'm not going to change. And I think I'm right, to be perfectly honest with you. Let me tell you something else about the book of Ruth. The second thing that's really important about Ruth is that it gives us an insight into the reality of simplicity. You know, sometimes we forget in our glut of big events and gadgets and television and computers that boys and girls are still falling in love, that farmers are still tending their crops, that children are making mud pies and enjoying life. And sometimes you need to remember that. Let me recommend a very good book to you. It's called Freedom in Simplicity, and it's by Richard Foster. You know, I think sometimes Christians' lives are so very complicated. Well, I'm not preaching. I'm talking about my life. It's so very complicated. I went back to my hometown of Asheville sometimes. And the last time I was back there, I went to my home church, Trinity Methodist. And I just loved those people there. And I thought about what it was like when I was growing up there and how things were so simple. And I thought, oh, man, I wish I could do that again. And God said, you ought to do it more. Maybe you ought to giggle when it's not appropriate. Maybe you ought to not turn on the computer some morning. Or maybe you ought to take the batteries out of your clicker on the television and get up and change it. Or maybe turn it off and go for a walk. Maybe you ought to be childlike a little bit more. Maybe you ought to get with your grandchildren and get on the floor and really have some fun. I love the Book of Ruth because it gives that flavor of simplicity. I used to go preach for five small churches in the mountains of Tennessee when I was a young pastor. They couldn't afford to pay me, could hardly pay my expenses, and they were great cooks. It's kind of I was about the best they could do if they were going to have a conference because famous people wouldn't go to their church. But you know, I love going to those churches, and I went back every year for a long time just cause of the simplicity of it. It's refreshing to read the book of Ruth. It's refreshing because as you read the book of Ruth, you begin to see a simple cut of life. And maybe God calls us to more simplicity. Incidentally, I used to, before I read Richard Foster's book, Freedom in Simplicity, I used to keep a record of people who borrowed books from my library. I have a fairly extensive library. When somebody would borrow a book, I'd make them put their name on this piece of paper. And first I would prick their finger and make them write it in blood. Who was it, Mark Twain, when somebody saw all the books just coming out of his all over his living room, and they were stacked on chairs, and he had to move them. And they said, "How come you have so many books?" He says, "Because I can't borrow bookshelves." Well, there are people. If everybody brought all the books that I've loaned back to me, I'd have to move out of my study because there wouldn't be any room. But books were very important, still are to me, and I would say, look, if you borrow this book, you better bring this book back, or you're going to get the fever and die. Something really bad's going to happen to you. And, you know, I read Richard Foster's book on simplicity, and he said that C.S. Lewis had said that the only books we were going to have in heaven were the books we loaned or we gave away. All of a sudden, that made me think, you know, I'm holding on to stuff that's going to rot and die when I die. I'm acting like this is really important that somebody doesn't bring back my book, as if this were a great, horrible sin for which people would go to hell, and so I quit doing that. I just let people come into my library and take books whenever they want them. You know what that did to me? That simple action was quite freeing. It was really good. Why don't you do something like that? You think about that, I'm in. Well, we'll talk about Ruth a little bit more tomorrow and maybe move on to the next book on Thursday, but we'll see. Hey, we brought back a great pamphlet, or some people said it was, and they wanted us to bring it back, called Questions and Answers. And we'd like to send this booklet to you free. I asked the staff to compile the 10 questions that we get asked the most and the answers that I gave to them. Questions like, what does the Bible say about homosexuality? What's the biblical role of women in marriage, in the church? How do I know God's will? Can I lose my salvation? And if you'll give me a call at 1-800-KEY-LIFE, or you'll write Key Life, Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida, 32794, or Key Life Canada, Post Office Box 32150, Cambridge, Ontario, M3H5M3, or email us at steve@keylife.org and ask for the questions and answer booklet. I'll send it to you absolutely free without charge or obligation. I really mean that. That does not mean that I'll send your contribution back to you. We send out hundreds of thousands of free tapes and pieces of literature. When you help us, you help us help so many others who are not able to help us, and most aren't. So pray about it. Be as generous as you can. You can charge it on your MasterCard or Visa card or Discover card. And for any, or you can include it in your envelope. For any contribution of any size, when you request it, I'll send along as my kiss. Thank you, the cassette teaching, What About the Fan? Hey, by the way, be sure and include the call letters of this great station when you write or call. And Key Life is a production of Key Life Network.